better cloud application management. So I'm going to talk about the DevOps experiences today. And it's a huge topic. And you may be already familiar with the industry trends about DevOps. In the past, you know, applications were simple. Now they're more complicated. And we, as developers, need to change as well. And I want you to know Microsoft is aware of the change, and we are changing as well. I'll tell you a story. When I came here, I saw a lot of, like, I met with a lot of people, and they're asking me, Hakan, why are you using a MacBook? Because I want to know what's good about it so I can apply it to my own product. So we use a lot of competitor products at Microsoft to understand what customers like about them. So it's important. So today, we're going to cover, I want to cover a lot of things, but we have limited time. I'll show you a little bit around in the Azure Management Portal, the new one. If you're familiar, this is, I think, the third version, right? The first one was Silverlight. Then we built an HTML5 version of it that was technologically same as the current one. However, the navigation and the way that you interact with the application was completely different. As we listen to you, developers and our partners, we understand what exactly you want to see in Azure. Like, how do you think about applications? Because it's changing constantly. I'm going to show you how you can use your Visual Studio Online account, put your source there, and then link it to Azure Portal for automatic deployments. So you can check in your code, it gets built, tested, everything is fine, it gets deployed to your website, right? It's a great way of simplifying the management of the application lifecycle. Once you deploy your apps, of course, you need to monitor them, right? Like, is my website working? Is it handling all the requests fine? Like, how about the performance? How many visitors am I getting? Where are they coming from? So, and if you see, like, problems with the deployment or problems with the runtime performance, you can immediately, you know, go ahead and fix some of the issues right there in the portal. Or you can switch back to Visual Studio and do your work there. Also, when we're designing the portal, we want to think about concepts instead of giving you little things here. You know, I call it the resource-centric view. Today, if you look at the hosting world, you will notice that most of the management portals show you resources. Like, you have this many websites, this many databases. You have a VM working there. However, like, the way I want to see it is I want to think of an application. Today, applications are very complicated. I want to build an iOS application and connect it to a backend that's running on, let's say, PHP. And it's also sending messages to a SharePoint site. And this is connected to my local environment. And I also have a, you know, ASP.NET web backend that supports some of the features in my application. So from a development perspective, like, how do you deploy everything at once? And what if something goes wrong? How do you, like, roll it back? Because you have so many servers and apps and instances of databases. So what we want to do in Azure is to help you forget all that, so you can focus on your business and think about the solutions that you want to create instead of dealing with the technical jumbo-mumbo of, I need to create an FTP server, or I need to create an IIS website with these configurations. Like, that's our job. That's where we're trying to take Azure towards, to help you focus on the actual business problems. All right, I'm going to show you a couple of things. I'll try one interesting thing. Let's see if it works. I switched to Mac. This is the Azure portal, the latest version. I'm not sure if we're going to write one more version of it yet. But this is what we have. We are basically trying to model the Windows 8 experience also on the web, because we want to think of Azure as the cloud operating system, right? Just like Windows, Azure is an operating system running on the cloud that's capable of running your applications and running multiple applications from different partners together in a unified framework. So think about it that way. It's a cloud operating system. So the concepts that we're going to see, some of the concepts that we're going to see today are similar to standard operating system management, like a task manager. We're not going to show it today, but you get the point. So right now, I'm using my Mac environment with Safari browser, and I'm connected to the portal. If you've used this, you may be aware of like what's in there. But if you haven't, like it's free. Just go on portal.azure.com and use it for yourself. Create accounts. If you have MSDN subscription, you can link your VSO accounts. We're all going to see it today. Just use it. Don't be afraid. There are many free offerings that we have. All right. Let's do something like this. What I'm trying to do right now is I'm browsing our gallery of applications and services that are available on Azure. I have a talk tomorrow where I'm going to cover this technology in more detail. But you can think of this as I want to create something, and I want to pick what I want to create from this gallery. Let's go with a website. I'm not going to read this. I'm going to click Create. I can type the name of my website. I want to give it like Moscow.com. Here's one more interesting thing. I'm going to shut down my browser, switch back to Windows, open IE, and then log in. I hope this works. One of the best things I love about Azure portal is its ability to maintain state. So I was totally on a different computer, right, on a different browser, and it remembers where I was, right? I don't lose context because I switch browsers or because I switch computers. So this was just a little showcase of what the portal is capable of. Because we think about these little details, right? We don't want you to feel bad about certain experiences. We want everything to be perfect. That's why like, we want to listen to you and understand what you don't like about our product or the user experience, which is my expertise. I was talking about the fact that applications are getting more complicated, right? And this also shows in the expectations of the users, you know, your customers. They have iPhones, they have Android phones, they have tablets, and they want applications to be very simple, just like a microwave. I just want to push a button and I want it to work. Why would I care about patching software or maintaining the updates and stuff? I just want it to behave like a device. I push things, it works. It's fast, right? It's simple, easy to understand. And when you have applications, it's probably that your customers are asking, like, where's the mobile version of this? Like, it doesn't work on my iPad. Why can't I use it through a browser, right? So the applications are becoming like hybrid packages that are getting harder to define. Like, how do you define what an application is? It's difficult, right? some enterprise applications might have like many, many instances of enterprise apps like SharePoint and SQL Server, you know, BizTalk, MySQL databases, you know, ASP.NET, PHP, everything combined. How do you manage it, right? So in Azure, we have this technology called Azure Resource Manager, which is the topic for me for tomorrow. That technology basically enables us to define resources in a way that the dependencies between them can be identified. So when you say, OK, here's the package, right? There are so many configuration options in it, like pointing to apps, services, databases, and their relationships. So using that template, you can deploy your huge application, no matter how complicated it is, very easily. Then you can roll it back, and it's much easier to maintain. So this is very important from a DevOps perspective, because we no longer have the luxury of thinking about ourselves as just developers, right? Developers need to also embrace the operational side of things, because most of the apps now have some sort of cloud presence, some sort of backend that needs to support the application. So you need to think about that as well, like how's it going to scale? How about my customers in Japan, my servers in the United States, like they're going to have a bad connection. How do I replicate my services across the globe? You know, as a developer, I know how to do like install servers and put them in different data centers, but it's very difficult to manage, especially when the application is becoming larger and larger and more complicated. So Azure is built on layers and layers. Like at the bare low level, we have the hardware layers. They are custom. On top of it, we have core framework services, service bus. On top of it, we have like infrastructure as a service offerings. We have platform as a service offerings. We have a common API that you can use to manage all of that. And this basically lets us unify everything together in one portal experience. So for example, we have partners like MySQL that are also able to create their experiences in the Azure portal, and it just looks like anything else in the portal. So you don't notice the difference. You know, when I was a college student, I was also like interested in development. And at that point, I started with Visual Basic. And all I need to do was to read one book, maybe two. Then I knew everything, right? Today, I'm old, by the way. I'm talking about 20 years ago. Today, like every single day, I need to read one more book, because everything is changing so rapidly. So as a developer, now I need to worry about, OK, I'm just going to write a good algorithm. My code quality is going to be high. But now I need to think about like the scalability of my backend, right? As you see, developers basically work on the code, check it in, commit to a server, and then it gets built. Then it gets tested. Then it gets deployed to either a public cloud or a private cloud, but it gets deployed somewhere. If it's a phone application, it's deployed to the devices that your customers have. And it doesn't stop there, right? Because now you have a 24/7 service that doesn't have the luxury of going down. You cannot turn it off, right? You have customers everywhere in the world, and they expect everything to just work. So it's our responsibility to deliver this to our customers. So we need to work together. If I have some time at the end of this presentation, I'm going to talk more about the deployment and the monitoring aspects of it. But I want to focus on the developer side more. So let's do a quick demo. On the Azure portal, What I'm looking at is a collection of tiles, similar to Windows 8. I can customize my homepage any way I want. I can change the sizes of those tiles. I can move them to different places. And I can create a very personalized dashboard for myself. If I'm a developer-oriented person, I want to see developer-oriented information in my dashboard, like what's the latest check-in, who's changing the code, what's the status of the latest build, was the deployment OK? If I'm an operational person, who is like constantly monitoring the websites and, you know, fixing things as they occur, then I want to have a dashboard that shows me my website performance and metrics and where my users are coming from. So that's why we think the customization aspects of the portal are so important. I want to start with creating a team project. A team project is basically a container for your applications provided by Visual Studio Online. If you're familiar with it, Visual Studio Online has a concept of an account, which represents you or your organization. And inside it, you create project collections and projects that represents the entirety of your application. Well, maybe this was a true statement in the past, but today, you know, where's the iOS code? Like, however, VSO is one of the most popular offerings for collaboration across like small teams or large enterprises with a unified experience, and it does provide great features such as version control, builds and deployment, as well as work item tracking, both for issue management or work planning. So we'll go ahead and create a team project. Devcon demo. OK, this is the name of my team project. I'm going to use Git as the version control provider instead of TFS version control. But you know, I could also use TFS version control. Everything would work the same way. I just like Git. I'm also going to create a new account. For my team project. There are other settings that I'm not going to go into, but there are a few things. Like if you have multiple MSDN subscriptions and you want to create your resources within one subscription because of the payment issues, like this is how you can change them. I just have one subscription, so that's what I'm using. I have like $120 left. OK. So when I click Create, this is going to take a while. I edit to my home page. While this is going on, I'm going to create a website so I can show you how I can link them together. When I'm creating a website, there are a couple of options that are interesting. For example, one of the concepts here that we're looking at is called a web hosting plan. This is very similar to, you know, the standard hosting companies' offerings in terms of like, hey, like pay us $10 and you get this much capacity, $20 this much capacity, $50 that much capacity. It's the same concept here. So depending on your requirements of your application's scalability, you can go with different types of hosting plans. The other concept I want to talk a little bit about is a resource group. In Azure, websites, virtual machines, databases are referred as resources. And logical containers of resources, we call them resource groups. It's a very important concept to understand because it plays an important role in our DevOps scenario. A resource group basically defines a set of resources like websites and databases together, so it becomes a transactional object. So you can deploy it once, you know, roll it back once, so you don't need to deal with like, hey, I updated the website, but I forget about the database, or you know, database is like one version older than my application. So resource groups are an important concept that is going to help you effectively manage your resources on Azure. Okay, I see the Twin project is ready. So we're looking at a team project screen right now. And I'll quickly explain what these things are. Here I'm looking at a graphical representation of my resources. And we can see that I have this team project that's connected to this VSO account. So as we like link more things together, this map is going to change. We call that resource map, by the way. I'm looking at the team project right now. You will notice that there are sections. We call them lenses. So in the code lens, we have repositories and the way to see the changes happening in that repository. We also have a section for builds. So you can define, create build definitions, or nightly build definitions that are running every night, or continuous integration type of build definitions. The other part is called the work. And this, the set of concepts that I went through matches exactly what we had in the old Visual Studio Online portal. It's not old, but so I'll show you quickly how it looks on the VSO portal. See, we have code, work, build, and test. So we have the same list of capabilities listed here. So I want to actually now go ahead and set up my continuous deployment for this team project. Actually, before I do that, let me show you one more thing for the websites. Because our website is ready too. Right now, my website is ready. And you can see that the resource map shows the visual indication of how my resources are connected together. And I can click on these things to go take a look at them and compare, you know, two websites side by side. So as I open more windows, this gets longer. We call it a journey. Journeys in the portal are preserved. So at any point, I can click the journeys and switch to a different journey from here. So this is similar to what I showed you at the beginning. It's about not losing your context while you're using the application. So please go ahead, play with it when you have time, and tell us what you like, tell us what you don't. OK, let's go back to the team project, and we'll add some code. OK, from this team project, I want to deploy to the new website that we created. So I'm going to find it here, the con demo. It's running in Vest US data center. But I could put it in anywhere. Asks me about the repository I want to use. Remember, this was a Git repository, not TFS version control. And this is the default branch that VSO created for me on that project. Now I've created the link between my team project on my website. Next thing I want to do is basically add some code to my team project so we have something to deploy. I'm going to use Visual Studio, but we also have different options that you can use. Like if you are a command line user and you want to use like the command line Git, you can also do that. WebMatrix is also it's also built by the Azure team, so we support it. I'm going to launch VS. Well, I'm not authorized to access it for some reason. Let's try it again. I need to provide my credentials. We've added all the features to Visual Studio to make it connected. So by signing into Visual Studio, now you can benefit from a couple of interesting features, such as, hey, I want to synchronize my settings to the cloud, so when I switch computers and go to a different box, I can get the same configuration without impacting my colleagues' computer or settings. Because I like, for example, dark theme, right? Some people don't. All right, now I want to go to the source. Unsig commits. Let me go back. Where are the exclusion on track files? I'm sorry, something is wrong. OK, I have this project I had before. It's a very simple ASP.NET web application. It's the default one. So I'm going to use it. Let me try this one more time, guys. There is something wrong with my authentication. Let's see this. Users, my name, source, repos, and condemn 8. What are these things? Let me try to create a new one. This seems to be broken somehow. I will do this. Yeah, I want to do an MVC. Okay, this should work. It's a quite large project, so it might take a while. Well, it didn't take so much. All right. Let's go back to the portal and see what's going on. I see that my code is now available. on this repository. So I can take a look at the list of commits, right? I can browse my code. There's something wrong here. I'm going to close this one more time. Okay, sorry guys, I'm making you wait a little bit. Okay, maybe we'll skip this and I'll show you something else. Typically, the way that you set up continuous integration is saying, okay, in this team project, I have a build definition that's automatically created by Azure that knows about the target, which is my website. So when you check in your changes to the team project repository, VSO, Visual Studio Online, understands that and says, oh, there's a new change coming in. So I'm going to kick off a build that's going to actually deploy the output to the website. However, this is not the only way. Sometimes, or not sometimes, but in a real world scenario, you don't actually want to do that. What you want to do is create different instances of your deployment target, like production, staging, user acceptance test. And as you push your changes to the test environment, and if the test is fine and everything looks good, then you want to put it to production. And I'm going to show you how you can do it with something called deployment slots. For my website, I have no deployment slots defined. So I'm going to go ahead and create one that I'm going to call staging, or let's call it test. What's going on behind the scenes is, because I'm creating a deployment slot for my website, it's behind the scenes, it's creating another website that's essentially the same. So it's going to have a different name, like this. And it's just like another website. So I can create a deployment target here. I can create, can set up continuous deployment. And even more, what I can also do is, in my version control, I can create branches for my production environment, for my test environment, staging, user acceptance. And I can say, OK, changes from this branch goes to production. Changes from this branch go to test. So it becomes a matter of making sure the changes are managed well in your version control provider, right? You may want to have a process where you take the changes from the test environment, test branch, and do some sort of approval process. It might be manual. Someone might need to sign something. And then when this change gets into the production branch, it will be deployed to its linked website, right? Similar to how the test version would be deployed to the test website. The best thing about this is, once you define your deployment slots, it's very easy to swap them without any downtime. This is a great feature because most applications need at least just a little bit of downtime when they're warming up. This is true for ASP.NET and many other application platforms. So we want to eliminate that. We want no downtime, zero downtime. So Azure has this feature called WhipSwap. So we're basically using the same thing to take your test website that's approved and ready for production, and you can swap it with the production site. And no one will notice anything. There's no downtime. It's a great feature. You see, it's we're looking at the test website right now. It looks exactly like the production site. So I can use it just like any other website and create a lot of different rules or business rules with it. All right. Well, when we're building applications, it's very unlikely that we would be working alone, right? We would always work in a team, and that's something that I want to do also in my projects in the Azure portal. I want to invite my colleagues or friends so we can collaborate together. I'll show you how you can like invite more people to your team project. And this is provided by Visual Studio Online. And Visual Studio Online has a great offering where you don't need to pay anything up to 5 users. It's the free plan provided by VSO. So if you have less than 5 users, they don't need an MSDN subscription. They can just go ahead and use the product. You can also invite other people with MSDN subscriptions without any cost to you. So that's also very good. OK, I'm looking at my team project right now. And if I scroll to the bottom, I see I'm the only user here. I'll click Add. One thing I'll mention is the identity system, like the users and groups in the portal, are powered by Azure Active Directory. So you can basically have your own organization, add users to your own organization, and have a unified security and team management integrated in the portal in a nice way. OK, Bob is my imaginary friend that's already in my Active Directory organization. So Azure Portal was able to find that person quite easily. Well, let me go show you the old portal. Because today, managing the Active Directory side of the things is not possible in the new one. So you may sometimes need to switch to the old portal. And here's where you can manage your Active Directory instance for your organization. It's my default directory. I'll just switch to the users. You know, you see Bob Brown. I originally added to my organization here. OK, now Bob should be able to connect here. So let's switch to Chrome and use Portal. Doing that, I'm just going to do this. You know, we've looked at the Visual Studio Online portal. So let's see if Bob is able to get to here as well, because I gave him permissions. And from our perspective, security, for example, is very important. Because when you publish your code to the cloud, security and permission management is essential. And we want to make sure we're doing a great job at that, because we understand how important it is to protect your valuable intellectual property. So if Bob wasn't in my organization's Active Directory, this wouldn't work. So Bob wouldn't be able to look at my source or work items or any project artifacts. Here is a
Bob. Okay, let's take a look at the resource groups. You see, I have a lot of them. I mentioned that the resource groups enable us to define the set of resources that should have the same life cycle. So when I delete a website, I want everything associated with the website, with that website, to be deleted, right? Because if I just delete the website, like, what am I going to do with the database? I will end up with a lot of like orphan resources in my Azure environment. So I don't want that. So when you are creating resources in Azure, always keep in mind that, like, what's the life cycle of this thing that I'm creating? A good example is thinking about like a team project versus a website. Maybe I want my website to have a short lifespan, but and I want to like spin up new instances of it or tear down or make changes, but I don't want that to happen to my team project where I host my version control and work items, right? So I don't want to put them in the same resource group. So lifecycle of the resources is a very important thing to remember when you're creating resources. I'll show you a couple of those. This is my MySQL database. As you see, it's not linked to any other resources. So if I delete this, nothing else is going to be impacted. But if we take a look at the DevCon demos that we just created, you'll see that, hey, I have the website and the team project that is linked. But this little graphic represents that they are not in the same resource group. They're just peer resources, linked resources. So it's good. OK, let's unpin this. And I want to talk about this a little bit more. You already know the URL to the portal. It's portal.azure.com. Please use it and provide us feedback. The DevOps experience, like I said, is huge, right? We need the entire conference to cover it all. And once you have your deployments configured correctly, like I mentioned, the next step is like the monitoring of the runtime performance of your services and applications, being able to understand what's going on in terms of, hey, my build is failing. Why is it failing? Oh, I have a problem in my source code. Or I have visitors coming in. I want to see analytics about how my application is being used. This is not just, you know, web analytics. Many application platforms today have telemetry that they can push to the cloud. And we can collect it and correlate it with your backend, your front-end, and many different loosely connected services. And you can see it as a whole. That's the way we would like to see the applications, right? I want to see it together. I want to see which part of my application is not working, and how can I fix that, instead of seeing, you know, you have five websites or three databases. Let me show you the monitoring aspects of a website. Let's use this one. The analytics part of the monitoring experience is so important to us, so we are constantly trying to provide a better set of metrics that you can watch, right? Not only IIS logs or server-side metrics, but also client-side metrics about the performance, about the location of your users. And when you enable analytics, which, well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but soon we're going to have a much better analytics experience that's directly targeting developers for understanding the characteristics of their application's runtime. My application is running slowly on certain devices. Like, why is it happening? So those are going to be available in the portal as well as in VSO. And one thing that I didn't show you is the ability to, let's try that. I'm going to go to one of my team projects that I know to have some stuff in it. I'm looking at the repository right now, and you can see that there's been a few commits to this so far. Right now, I'm trying to browse the repository that I have on that team project, and there are like folder structures here. So let's go into scripts and open this one. I think it's a big file, taking some time to load. How about this one? Looks smaller. Yeah. There's definitely something wrong with the portal today, guys. I'm sorry about that. If this worked, we would see the contents of the file that I clicked on. And what's interesting is Microsoft is working on a new technology called Monaco that we are trying to use in different places. And this is one of those. Monaco is a web-based code editor that understands different syntaxes. So for example, this is a JavaScript file. If it worked, like, we would see the JavaScript contents properly highlighted. And what's best is I can edit it. And it doesn't stop there. It's not just like a ugly text box. It's rich. It understands your code by compiling, even if it's JavaScript, compiling in the background and creating like autocomplete support for you. So if you are familiar with it, JavaScript is a very dynamic language that's very difficult to create an editor for that supports autocompletion or IntelliSense. However, we have enabled it on the web. I wish I could show you that. Maybe I switch to a different file. Sorry, guys. Demo gods are not with me today. Yeah, I've tried every screen that has a different code path, but it's unfortunately doesn't work. Anyway. Maybe after this talk, we can get it to work, and I'll show you how you can edit the files. So I'd like to stop for like 5 minutes to see if you guys have any questions or want to know more about the operational side of the DevOps scenario. Because we have great resources, I can point to you. I'm also like I can get questions if you want. I need the online translator. I see someone there. Give me a minute.
Yes, hello. You told us that you can switch websites directly on the web without lag. Yes. You have test environment, and you have.
I'm not able to hear you. By the way, can you speak a bit louder?
Okay. You told us that it is possible to switch website from test environment to production. And what about database? How it switches?
That's a great question. I don't have much expertise on the database side, and I know that Visual Studio Online guys have been working on database diffs, but I'm not sure they're going to soon enable it on the Azure portal for differentiated like SQL databases when you like switch between different sites. So if you follow up with me, I'll find it out for you. All right. There we go. One more question.
Right. So my question is it possible to use web config transformations to deploy from CI, from repository, to different web environments?
I see.
And how to configure it?
Okay. So the question is, I can deploy from my team project to an Azure website? But can I deploy from my team project to something else, right? So Azure doesn't help you much there, but Visual Studio Online does. The deployment is configured by the build definitions in Visual Studio Online. So if you have the proper targets in your build definition and have the deployment process configured correctly, pointing to your publicly available target, like FTP site, yes, it is possible. Like you can create custom build scripts to do whatever kind of deployment you want to do. Does that answer the question?
I guess not so concrete. You know, just right now I'm trying to compare Windows Azure to some platforms that I used previously. And I used App Harbor platform.
Okay, App Harbor.
Yeah, and in App Harbor, it is possible to switch your deployment process using different web config transformations. So if you committed several deployment configurations. For example, you have web debug config and web release config. You can easily switch during, I don't know, during configuration in CI, for example, from web debug config to web release config, and it will work automatically.
I see.
Yeah, here is a question.
Okay. So, let me summarize what I understood. You gave examples about competitors, about their ability to basically figure out from the CI which environment to deploy. If it's a debug build, deploy it to the test. If it's a retail build, deploy it to production, right? Like I said, you're basically deploying from your Visual Studio Online account to someplace else, right? Right? Or you want to still deploy to the website, but use different deployment slots?
I'm sorry. For example, if I have two environments together
sure.
at the same
deployment
time,
slots, right.
and I just commit my new changes to the source control, and I'd like to CI deploy this website
I see.
To both environments with their configurations.
Sure. I don't think we have that today, but I think it's a great point that I'll investigate. Like I said, this is not very directly related to Azure, so it's more of a VSO question, but I can find the answer for you if you find me after this talk, all right? And you also won, and also you, something from me. If you guys can come on stage, I brought two little things. They were great questions. You have an Xbox Live subscription, sort of excuse to buy an Xbox. And you have a Windows 8.1 retail. All right, thank you guys. It was great to talk to you. Sorry that the demos didn't work out as planned. But find me and we'll work it out together. Thanks a lot, it's great to be here.